Well, it's June. There's lots of heat. Father's Day. Summer vacation just around the corner. Kind of makes me nostalgic for car rides of long ago. Maybe trying to find the open road to Grandma's house. And I'm sure that this scene is played out in the back seats of cars everywhere, wherever children may be. An authoritative voice from the front seat, a father's voice, lays down the law. On this trip, there'll be no cudgeling your brother, sister, cousin with your cap gun or adjustable wrench or Tonka toy, nor shall there be poking, prodding otherwise, perforating him with pencil, pen, toy arrows, screwdrivers from the toolbox. In the case of my own father, I couldn't quite define every word that he used, but from the tone of his voice, you knew exactly what he meant. Children keep their eyes fixed on the back seat ahead. No sound is heard except maybe a loose muffler that should have been fixed 6 months ago. Something like near silence for the first 6 minutes of the ride. Territorial lines are traced on the back seat, and the neutral zone is strictly observed. But then it could be anything. A gust of wind through an open window blowing a paper from one side to the other. An annoying fly is swatted at, and someone is inadvertently touched. And the touch is responded to with a poke, and so it begins. Full-fledged, cudgeling, poking, swatting, and resulting screaming. On again, off again, until one of the children's eyes refocus into sudden, regretful realization that it's just a couple of miles to Grandma's house. Silence. The last 6 minutes of the drive. The car rolls off pavement onto gravel. Destination, Judgment Day. Tearful regret. They were good for at least some of the time, but no doubt they were misbehaving. What will it be in the Father's hands? Justice or mercy? What a dilemma. Justice or mercy. A good father knows both are important, because mercy without justice kind of leads to a free-for-all anarchy. Or justice without mercy is bad too. You've got unattainable standards, you've got frustration, rebellion, and the same result, full-blown anarchy. The earthly father, in every case, must turn to his heavenly Father for wisdom and ask the question, how does God the Father show mercy? Does he just let some things go and other things not? Is this the Father's mercy? A kind of mercy that's vacillating, unpredictable, inconsistent? And what about his justice, on the other hand? For our heavenly Father, it's never a case of having a vacillating, unpredictable, or inconsistent behavior, choosing justice one day and mercy another. God, our Heavenly Father, He is always equally just and merciful together. Are you surprised? Amazed that you could hold these two things in tandem? I know I am. And I ask the question, how can you hold justice and mercy together? Well, the very word of God reveals that he does so by his love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son for us sinners. In the death of Jesus, the penalty for sin is paid and justice is satisfied. We're covered by the precious blood of Jesus, We're not treated as our sins deserve. And whatever the earthly consequences might be, we always must remember that we're never given what our sins deserve. Mercy is given in the sacrificed Son. And what of the Son, Jesus, the Father who gives, the Spirit that endures forever? All that is given freely. We cannot repay. We can only respond to such love, lift love. Fathers are best also to resolve to keep justice and mercy together. There is no merciful father that divorces justice from it. I preach to myself also to proclaim, as Jesus proclaimed, that repentance and forgiveness of sins are to be proclaimed to every creature, even those in the back seat. Now, of course, it's easier in theory than in practice. But it begins with demonstrating repentance in one's own life first. To apologize when you've done wrong. To ask for forgiveness. To say the words, "I have done wrong." To name the sin and say, "I'm sorry, I hurt you." There is no room for the typical politician-type remorse, such as, "If my actions have offended anyone," sort of speech. And if there are consequences for such actions, teach that they should be accepted, and accept them in your own life as well. Pay the fine, write the letter. Whatever it is, we have not received what our sins deserve. Finally, know of God's love. And if that apology is not accepted, know this, that God forgives and your relationship with God is secure. If the apology is accepted, rejoice that a relationship is retained and restored. And know also that God's love forgives you. Don't sink into that regret forever. Know that you're forgiven and you can move on. Parents also teach children likewise how to apologize, to name the sin, to take responsibility, to accept the consequences and grant forgiveness. Say the words, "I forgive you," and look to Jesus and share God's love. Of the verse in the reading, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. We look to Jesus to give us guidance. What did Jesus do with those who repented? And by repentance, I mean taking responsibility, expressing sorrow over sin, resolving to do better. In the parable from last week, the Father, representing our Heavenly Father, certainly did not treat the prodigal son as his sins deserved. Justice is satisfied in the sacrificial Christ. It is accessed through the Spirit-inspired repentance. It brings mercy from the Father so that every good gift was showered upon the prodigal son. And yet still earthly consequences would follow him. The money he spent was spent. It wasn't coming back. His relationship with his Father had been restored, but even our Heavenly Father will not force others to have their relationship with us restored. The woman caught in adultery was spared her death sentence, but not all of the earthly consequences were taken away. She would live. She would return to her village. Relationships would take some work to be restored. But with a restored relationship with God, all things are possible. And Jesus reminded her of what repentance consists of. He said, "Go and sin no more. The good thief on the cross beside Jesus took ownership of his sin. We deserve our punishment, he admitted. And Jesus forgave him and said, today you will be with me in paradise. But still, even after Jesus gave up his spirit and died, the good thief still had to complete his sentence. His earthly consequences for sin is suffering on the cross. How often should I be merciful? Or how many times ought I to forgive? Jesus answers such a question saying, if your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you even 7 times a day and 7 times comes asking for forgiveness, forgive him. If you think that giving forgiveness is difficult, then remember that genuinely asking forgiveness is also difficult. It means naming the sin, taking responsibility, accepting consequences. Both actions require the grace of God and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Both actions are motivated by faith obtained solely through the Word of God, and specifically through the Word concerning the mystery of the cross by which justice is satisfied. Be merciful, even as your Heavenly Father is merciful. Perhaps some are wondering how that might work out in the scenario I began with. But you know, I can't really do that. But I can certainly pray that all fathers look to their Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, guided by the wisdom of the Holy Spirit to know His justice and mercy in their own lives, that they may be just and merciful in dealing with all that they encounter. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ keep us in true faith unto life everlasting. Amen.